Good morning. I'd like to call the animal control hearings for the City of Palm Coast to order. On August 18, 2017, at 11:01 a.m., my name is Nicole Turcotte, and I'm the hearing officer for these proceedings. I'd like to outline the format of today's proceedings. This is a public hearing. The hearings are quasi-judicial in nature. The formal rules of evidence do not apply, though due process shall be observed and govern these proceedings. All testimony shall be under oath and recorded. There is no public comment portion of these proceedings. Just so that we're consistent moving forward, I think the way that we'll handle these is the city will begin by presenting an opening statement, and then the respondent can present an opening statement as well. Once the parties have completed that, the city will present its evidence, and then you may present your evidence as well, and you'll both be given an opportunity to provide closing statements if that's what you'd like to do. I would ask that anyone who is here and will provide testimony to please stand and raise your right hand to be sworn in, and then to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Do you hereby swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Yes. Okay, thank you. And we'll remain standing for the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Please be seated. The first item is to present the minutes from the August 1st hearing. There are two sets of minutes. The minutes regarding the regular animal control licensure hearings are approved as drafted. The other minutes for the dangerous dog hearing that occurred on August 1st have some issues. We're missing reference to testimony from Katie Scher, Lauren Driscoll, and we're also missing reference to the closing arguments. So I will defer approving or doing anything with these minutes to give you all an opportunity to correct that or address it however you'd like, and we can address it at the next hearing. All right, so let's begin. This is case number 2017-070543. As I mentioned, the city will begin by presenting its opening statement. Thank you, Your Honor. I'm Jennifer Nix for the City of Palm Coast. We're here today on the current owner, Michael Nixod's request for a hearing regarding the city's initial determination for classifying his dog, Bubbles, as a dangerous dog. The city had found sufficient cause to classify Bubbles as a dangerous dog based upon the city code definition, which follows state law, of course. Bubbles is owned by Michael Nixod, who lives at 228 London Drive. Barbara McFarlane was the neighboring resident who was the victim bitten by Bubbles, and she lives at 219 London Drive. Both Mr. Nixod and Ms. McFarlane had submitted conflicting evidence about the June 29th attack involving Bubbles, which occurred at or about 231 or 233 London Drive in the public street. The Flagler County Sheriff's Office report that you will see in the evidence that will be presented today had noted that while they gave conflicting statements, the physical evidence supported Ms. McFarlane's account of the incident, and also the animal control officer, Heather Priestap, had noted on the animal bite incident report, which will be submitted into evidence, that the blood on the road is inconsistent with the owner's story. The multiple affidavits, photos, medical record, and evidence, which will be submitted into the record, has already by the city, and the testimony to be provided today by the victim will show that the city's initial determination classifying the dog as a dangerous dog should be upheld because Bubbles does meet the city code's definition of a dangerous dog. Basically, the evidence will show that while off her leash, Bubbles first snapped at the victim while the victim was walking away. It was an unprovoked situation. As the victim was bit, the owner still didn't leash the dog. And then they had an exchange. He was walking back to his home, and Ms. Barbara McFarlane had walked toward that direction just for purposes of getting the address of his house because she wanted to contact the police because the dog was off the leash and it snapped at her hand. And at a point after that, the dog again came at her, jumping at her, causing her to fall backwards, hitting her tailbone, her head on the concrete, and she was bleeding, and then the dog continued to attack her, biting her hands and feet. She had her arms in front of her face to protect herself. Neighbors called 911, attempted to assist with catching the dog, and provided her with aid until the ambulance arrived. The city has to prove that Bubbles meets the definition of a dangerous dog, and a dangerous dog means, and this is included in Exhibit T, which I will provide, any dog that, according to Animal Control Authority records, other animal control or law enforcement authorities, has aggressively bitten, attacked, or endangered, or has inflicted a severe injury on a human being on public property. And again, the evidence will show that this happened. A severe injury resulted, in as much as the definition of that, of course, includes multiple bites, which did occur to the victim. The dangerous dog definition also means any dog that has, when unprovoked, chased or approached a person upon the streets in a menacing fashion or apparent attitude of attack, provided that such actions are attested to in a sworn statement. There was a sworn statement already by Ms. McFarlane, and she will be providing testimony today as well. The affidavit shows, and testimony will show, that Bubbles was unprovoked and did chase or approach her in a menacing fashion or attitude of attack, and then even attacked her further on the ground in the middle of the street while she was peacefully and lawfully conducting herself, just taking a walk down the public road. Bubbles was quarantined June 19th through the 29th at Flagler Humane Society, and as of now, we believe that the dog is still with the owner. The city's initial determination provided for proposed appropriate penalties. That's in the record, and those were entered in accordance with the city code, which was adopted in April 2017, largely to follow the state statutes. Some of the proposed penalties include registration of Bubbles as a dangerous dog, a permanent ID, a proper enclosure, proof of insurance, and that it be muzzled when outside of the owner residence or locked pen. Of course, for everyone's safety. This determination was made after the city's investigation. It did not order that the animal be euthanized. The city wants to reiterate that, of course, and also note that there is no exception as to the city's classification of a dangerous dog. There are some exceptions provided in the state statutes. The facts here do not fall into any of those. The affidavit and investigation support the city's classification of a dangerous dog, and we would state that it should be upheld. While the owners may present affidavits or testimony as to the demeanor of the dog and whatnot, the facts we feel do support the city's initial determination. And therefore, we would respectfully request that you uphold the classification as a dangerous dog and the proposed penalties as provided for in the initial determination based upon the affidavits and the evidence that will be presented today.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Sir, can you please identify yourself at the podium? Or one or both of you. Hello. Can you please state your name?
Michael Daniel Nixon.
Okay. And I'm sorry, you are?
I'm Stephen Moreno. M-O-R-E-N-O.
M-O-R-E-N-O?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And Mr. Nikzad, is that N-I-K-Z-A-D?
Correct.
Okay. Okay, you have an opportunity to present an opening statement if you'd like, or you may have your representative do that.
I have Bubbles. It's been in my own, I've owned Bubbles for approximately a year now. I adopted her when she was 6 months old, and for 1 year, she's been a great dog, and I love her very much. She's never had one incident like this before, ever. This is the first incident that this has ever happened. I don't know why my statement of what happened was deemed by the officer the way he deemed it, but I don't agree with that. Mrs. McFarlane was never touched by me, and she fell down by herself, and nobody ever touched her when she fell down. So I have a conflicting statement there. You know, my dog was provoked the first time by her. She walked in front of my house, and she was speaking to us, well, speaking to me. And she was somewhat abrasive in her tone, and that's when Bubbles approached her. So Bubbles began barking at her, and I think that she was nervous, and she panicked, and then she smacked Bubbles in the face with her weight, and. And then that's when I reacted. I stepped between both of them, and I made sure that, you know, Bubbles was not able to reach her, you know, because, you know, I didn't want either one of them to be injured or hurt or whatever. And I walked with her about a house. I walked with her a house downward to the next house to make sure she was still safe. And she was, and I asked her to let me see the bite. I wanted to, she claimed that Bubbles had bit her, and I wanted to see what the bite looked like, and she was still panicking, so she really wouldn't let me see it, so I couldn't see any bite marks on her. As soon as I felt she was safe, I walked back to control Bubbles. I wanted to put Bubbles on the leash and bring her in the house, and Miss McFarland followed me. She followed me from the house down back to in front of my house. That's where this incident happened, in front of my house. As soon as she walked back, she began throwing the weights at Bubbles. She says it in her statement. She began throwing her weights one by one at Bubbles. That's when I had to step between them so she couldn't hurt my dog. I put my hand in front of her hand like this. I was like this. I had my hand like this, and I had my other hand like this. And I was standing in front of her, and her hand was like this with the weight. She was about to throw it again. Her hand was like this, and the weight in the hand. And then as soon as I stepped in front of her, she went like this, and I'll reenact it. She put both of her hands up like this, and then she went like this. And fell down just like that. And then that's when all my neighbors walked out of their houses. I had a gun pointed at me by my neighbor, Nick. I was very nervous. And then that's when I didn't know what to do, really. So my other neighbor, Nicole, told me to let's go control Bubbles. And she helped me control Bubbles and we put Bubbles in the house. So after that, the police came, animal control came. That's the truth.
And sir, let me just ask you, are you an attorney for Mr.
No.
Nixad? Okay.
No, I'm just a family friend, and at the same time, I've been expert witness in a lot of engineering cases and workman's comp and all that, but I'm just a family friend that is trying to help him.
Okay. So I'm not going to give you legal advice, but just so you understand how these proceedings will go, you presented an opening statement, but also sort of in the form of testimony, so you can... Like I said before, the city's going to, now that everyone's done with their opening statements, the city will present their evidence, and they can do that by testimony, documents, photos, whatever they want to do. You will then have an opportunity to do that. So you can either restate everything you just said, or you can adopt your opening statement as part of your testimony, and the city will be able to question you based on, you know, what testimony you want to offer. You can question the city's witnesses. So I just want you to understand the process for how this is going to work, okay? Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Okay. All right. Well, if you are done with your opening statement, then I'll allow the city to begin presenting their evidence. Did you have anything else you want to ask?
Yeah. I just wanted to let you know that his father, that is a friend, he's proceeding to fence the yard and all that of the house. And also, we got the insurance, canine insurance for the dog. But we wouldn't like Bubbles to be classified as dangerous. You know, I've known Bubbles for a long time, and she's just really playful. She's a puppy, and she was reacting to, you know, being hit.
Okay. And again, you can present that testimony too after the city presents their evidence.
Okay,
thank you. The city have its first witness or other evidence they'd like to present? Okay, thank you, Your Honor. That's okay.
May I approach?
Yes.
Thank you. I have an indexed version of what was passed out already, what was served upon Mr. Nixod, just the initial determination, and things that I have for purposes of being kind of organized and everybody can see it. So I'm going to give you the exact same thing as I give the hearing officer, okay?
And just for clarity of the record, are the color photos part of this?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and just for the record, the only thing that is any different or what may seem different was just the letter which was sent to the victim, which only had another line or two, and I believe you were already, Your Honor, presented with that, but it is included as number 7 with the email from staff as well. So none of this should be new except for that, possibly, to anyone.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Nixad, do you have any objection to me entering these documents into evidence?
No.
Okay, so these will be admitted as the city's Exhibit A, composite Exhibit A.
Thank you, Your Honor. Okay, and if I could call city's first witness, Heather Presap.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Heather Presap, City of Palm Coast, Animal Control Officer.
You beat me to it. Thank you. Ms. Presap, did you investigate this matter?
I did, yes.
Okay. And can you just kind of tell the court what you know about the incident, and we'll go from there?
We received a call from Flagler County Dispatch on June 19th, 2017, about a dog bite that had just occurred. When we arrived on scene, we met with Deputy Taylor. He briefed us on what was going on and what he had gotten from the witnesses so far. We spoke with and obtained a statement from Nicholas Carobe. From 231 London Drive, Mr. Carib showed us where on the road he helped to pick up Miss McFarland, which correlated with where the blood was found on the road. Photos were taken of the blood spots in front of 231 and 233 London Drive. Mrs. McFarland had already been taken by the ambulance to the ER, so we were unable to talk to her at that time. Mr. Nixod was over at his house and had multiple family members showing up at the house. He was yelling and screaming and looked like he was reenacting what happened, even with the screaming like the victim at one point. We continued speaking with Nicholas and waited for him to fill out his statement. We then went over to spoke with Mr. Nixod. And he stated that Bubbles came out of her harness and was chasing her, trying to get her back on the leash. He stated that when Mrs. McFarland saw Bubbles, she came towards them yelling that she followed Bubbles back to 228 London Drive, and she was in front of their house when she threw the weights hitting Bubbles, and that is when Bubbles went after Mrs. McFarland. Mrs. McFarland was screaming and backed up away from the dog and fell. Made the decision to take Bubbles and have her do her quarantine at the Flagler Humane Society based on the facts we had received about the incident that occurred. When we entered when we entered his house, Bubbles was obviously barking at us, and when the officer had started talking with his hands, Bubbles came at his hands. I suggested that he stop moving his hands around so much, and they did grab Bubbles' collar and keep her back. I met with Barbara McFarlane on 6/21/17, and I took photos of her bites, and she gave me photos that were previously taken of her injuries. Her statement.
I'm sorry, I can't write that fast.
Sorry.
That's okay. What?
It is actually all, almost all in here.
I remember reading that, but what was the date you said you met with Ms. McFarlane again?
6/21.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. she stated to me that she was out for her morning walk holding two-pound weights when she saw a man later identified as Mr. Nick Zod walking Bubbles off the leash and in the street. Michael was holding the leash wrapped around his hand and did not seem to be attempting to put the dog on a leash. Ms. McFarlane told Mr. Nick Zod that he needed to put the dog on a leash. Michael's response to her was, yeah, yeah. Ms. McFarland kept walking away from them, and Bubbles snapped at her finger, biting her finger. When she turned and stated to Michael that the dog had just bit her finger, Michael's response was, where? Show me where. The dog kept coming at Mrs. McFarland, and Mr. Nigzad did not do anything to stop the dog from going after Mrs. McFarland. She stated, control your dog, but he did not attempt to leash the dog and take it away. Mr. Nigzad walked away and did not leash the dog. Mrs. McFarland walked towards them to see his address. Mr. Nigzad turned and said, why are you following me? She stated, because I want to know your address so I can call the cops. That is when the dog came at her again, attacking her on the street between 231 and 233 London Drive, which is about 200 feet and across the street from Mr. Nick Zod's house. There are photographs and sworn statements attesting to the location of where the attack occurred. Mrs. McFarland then threw her 2-pound weights trying to defend herself, but missing the dog. She backed up to avoid the charging dog and fell backwards. She was bit on her ankle and her hand from protecting her face, so she had 2 bites on her hand and a bite on her ankle, and no one was helping her. The residents at 231 London came out to leave and heard her screaming. They helped her up off the ground and called 911. The neighbor at 217 London Drive also heard the screams and came out to help. Once Mrs. Stasky helped get Mrs. McFarlane off the ground, she turned to help contain Bubbles. Mrs. McFarlane was attacked on a public street 2 houses down and across the street from 228 London Drive, where Mr. Nick Zod and Bubbles live.
Sorry, is it 228 or 288?
He's at 228. Typo. Thank you.
Thanks. And I believe in one of the pictures, just to note, as far as 228 or 288, Exhibit O, the last picture of that, has written an address pointing to the house, 288 London Drive. And just to correct the record there, is that supposed to be 228?
It is supposed to be 228.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and you had noted on the animal bite incident report that you had completed that the blood on the road was inconsistent with the owner's story?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and you had testified also that it was about 200 feet from his home to where the blood mark was in the road?
It was over 200 feet and across the street.
Okay. And
and when we had shown up, the officer, the sheriff deputy, mm-hmm. Showed us where the blood was, where the chair was when he arrived, where she was sitting, which was consistent with where the blood marks were on the road, which was the 200 feet, which is what the photos kind of show.
Okay, so would you, are you testifying that you had basically received conflicting statements from Mr. Nikzad as opposed to what the physical evidence seemed to show in the road?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And have there been any other instances of bubbles running at large or being a nuisance that you know of from the neighbors or anything reported to the city otherwise?
We did not have anything reported, but several neighbors did tell us that the dog runs loose consistently.
Okay. And I don't have any more questions because you answered them all. Thank you.
Mr. Nikzad, do you have any questions for Ms. Precept?
I just, the whole incident happened right next to my house.
Well, this isn't the place for you to testify, but if you have questions for Ms. Precept, you can ask her questions.
On your statement, you said you did not investigate it yourself and you just took the officers at word for it where the blood marks were.
No, sir.
That's what you said on your statement.
I personally took photos of where the blood marks were in the road. The pictures show how far away the blood spots are, and the fact that they're between. I'm looking for my photo.
The initial determination is 6, and then I tried to list the exhibits if it helps you find them, but I think the photographs of the road were
between 231 and 233 London Drive, and that's what my photos show, where the blood spots were versus where your house is, which is about a little over 200 feet away from your driveway and across the street.
Well, that's impossible. The whole incident happened literally next to my house. That's completely impossible.
Do you have any other questions for Ms. Precept?
No, I do not.
Okay. You can hold on to that if you want. Okay. Did he have any redirect?
No, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Precept. Did he call his next witness?
Thank you. Actually, I would like to call Mr. Nikzad if I could ask you some questions, sir.
Sure.
Okay, thank you. And may I have permission to treat Mr. Nikzad as a hostile witness?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Nikzad, as far as what happened on June 19th, isn't it true that your dog was off the leash during your walk?
At the end.
What do you mean by at the end?
I let her off the leash into my backyard.
Okay.
That's the statement I gave.
Okay. And didn't you also give a statement that she had escaped out of her harness and that you were running around trying to?
Okay, Mr. Nix said a couple things. I'm sorry. Ms. Nix, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Mrs. Nix needs to finish her question before you answer so that we can all hear and it's recorded properly. The other thing, too, is if you could face me when you're talking because I'm having a hard time hearing. I'm sorry. I know. I'm sure Mrs. Nix will think you're being rude. I appreciate it. Okay, I'm sorry for interrupting. If you want to ask a question again.
Sure. Thank you. Okay, so what did you mean by at the end of the walk?
I let her run around my backyard at the end of the walk, and then she ran to the front yard, and then that's when Ms. McFarland was walking up. She was walking up the street, and basically it happened on my left side of my house, that's where the first incident happened, to the front next to the electric pole. And then when I walked with her, one house downward. And then that's when, as soon as I walked down, I turned back to go get bubbles. When I walked with her safely down the first step, and then that's when she followed me back. And then that's when she started throwing the weights at her in front of my house. That's why I said the report of the blood spots are impossible, because the incident happened in front of my house. She was throwing the weights at bubbles, and that's when I stepped in front of her, and then she walked backwards and literally fell on her own to her back.
Okay,
no one pushed her down, and no one touched her.
As far as when you're mentioning that she had walked, and from what you're showing, it looks like you're saying that she walked back maybe 2 steps and then fell. Is that a fair statement when you're showing?
She had the weight in her hand, mm-hmm. Okay, with her front this leg forward. She was in the act of throwing the weight. I stepped in front of her. I put my hand in front of her hand. I was literally like, she was like a couple feet in front of me. I had my hands like this, protecting my dog. And then she threw her other hand up like this. She threw her other hand up like this, walked two steps backwards, and literally fell on the ground by herself, and no one touched her. And the dog was behind me. The dog was nowhere near her. So that's another conflicting statement. I don't know why she said the dog touched her, because she literally fell down by herself, and no one touched her.
So you're saying that was in front of your house?
Literally,
she had walked
in
back
front of the electric
two steps.
Pole. No, not as two steps. All right, here's if I can draw you. If I can draw something, I can. All right, let's say
The city's included photographs in their evidence they gave you. I don't know if that would be helpful for you to use. I mean, feel free, if you want to draw a diagram, you're certainly welcome to do that. I just made the suggestion.
I want to draw a diagram that everyone can see.
That's fine. Do you have a piece of paper?
I can tell you.
I mean, this is your opportunity to present your evidence.
Okay.
If you want to do a
diagram,
you're free
to do that.
Well,
when she was in the act of throwing it, she was in the border between my house and the house to the right of it. We were at the border, right in front of the dumpster. In front of my mailbox. It happened in front of my mailbox. This is where it happened. Okay? It didn't happen 200 feet away. It happened literally right there. And so as soon as I put my hand in front of her, she threw both of her hands up, walked two steps backwards, and then fell to her back. And then all my neighbors, literally all my neighbors rushed out of their houses, and I had a gun pointed towards me. Actually, the gun was pointed towards me and Bubbles, both. And I got very scared. You know, seeing a gun pointed toward you is kind of traumatic. So I was kind of shocked. And then that's when all my neighbors, they gathered around Ms. McFarland. And I was in shock. And then that's when Nicole, the other neighbor.
Okay, wait, let me just interrupt you real quick. I don't remember what the question was, but I feel like it wasn't one that invited a narrative. So, this purpose is, it's the city's opportunity to present their evidence. So she can ask you questions, and you should answer the questions.
Okay, I don't remember the question either. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's fine. And we, fortunately, this is a quasi-judicial proceeding, so we don't have to be super formal, but I do want to make sure that the record is clear. So, Ms. Nix, if you don't mind.
Yeah, kind of getting it back.
Right, thank you.
And I know that, it kind of started with when was the dog unleashed or,
Okay.
Was the dog off the leash during the walk? Mr. Nix, isn't it true that the victim told you that you should have your dog on the leash?
I believe so, she did.
Okay.
As she was walking up, she began speaking to me as she walked up the road, and she began talking to me, and I was shocked because none of my neighbors have ever talked to me like that before right off the road, and I don't know, I didn't know this woman. It was the first time I ever met her. So she began talking to me. I think she told me that your dog has to be on a leash and whatnot, and she was saying it in a somewhat abrasive, aggressive manner. So then that's why Bubbles approached her and began barking at her.
Did, is this after she had told you that the dog snapped at her or before?
No, she was talking, she was talking to me. She was walking up the street. She was on a walk. Mm-hmm. And then she passed my neighbor's house and she began speaking to me. And that's when Bubbles and I noticed her because she was speaking towards us. That's when I think when she let me know that Bubbles had to be on the leash. And then when Bubbles went toward her, she panicked. The lady panicked. She was scared of Bubbles. And she smacked Bubbles in the face with her weight.
Did you attempt to control your dog?
I stepped between her and Bubbles. As soon as I saw Bubbles, as soon as I saw her and Bubbles, interacting, I stepped between them. I made sure that I was in between them, and I walked with Ms. McFarland at least a house or two down. I don't remember. I walked with her a house or two down to make sure that she was nowhere near Bubbles. This was the first incident, right? And then that's when I felt Ms. McFarland was safe, And I didn't see any bite marks on Miss McFarland. Okay, I didn't see any bite marks, and I thought she was safe. I turned around and put my attention toward Bubbles. And that's when I went to go for Bubbles and put her on the leash and take her in the house. But Miss McFarland turned around, she walked to the front of my house, in front of my mailbox, in front of my mailbox, started throwing the weights at Bubbles. Literally at Bubbles. That's when I stepped in front of her again. I stepped in front of her, put my hands up. When she was like this, she had the weight in her hand like this. I put my hand in front of hers. That's when she threw both of her hands back, walked two steps back, and then fell on the ground like that. She literally fell by herself. Nobody touched her.
Okay. Did you ever put your dog on the leash?
I had her on the leash the entire walk until the end. When I reached my yard, and I was in the back of my backyard, and I let her off my leash.
I mean, after Ms. McFarland had started talking to you, did you re-leash your dog?
I was in the process of leashing her, but she was speaking to me. And then Ms. McFarland, you know, was panicking. You know, she was panicking, and I was trying to, you know, I was trying to control my dog and, you know, give Ms. McFarland attention, too, and try to keep Ms. McFarland safe.
Why do you say safe?
Because Bubbles was panicking and so was Miss McFarland. They were both panicking, you know, at the same time. Bubbles is barking, she's throwing a tantrum, and I'm trying to deal with both of them.
Okay, and isn't it true that other neighbors had to help you corral your dog after the fact, kind of, to get it under control?
As soon as Miss McFarland fell on the ground, that's when all the neighbors appeared. All of them, I had the gun pointed towards me, I was shocked, and I didn't know what to do. So my neighbor, Nicole, suggested that we just go turn our attention toward Bubbles, and she helped me control Bubbles. We put Bubbles back in the house, and that's when I came and dealt with the situation, as soon as Nicole helped me put Bubbles back in the house.
Are you, is it your testimony that the victim came into your yard, or no?
No, she was on the street. The entire time, she was on the street.
So, how would you, you've seen the pictures in the record, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and have you seen where it's pointed out in the pictures, your home versus where the blood stain was found on the
home? I can't tell by those pictures, you know. I can't even recognize those pictures, honestly. And, you know, I can't talk to those pictures. I just know what happened, and I'm telling you the truth. So that's all I know.
Okay. Your Honor, may I approach the witness just to ask about a picture?
Sure.
Thank you.
I'm not familiar with your neighborhood so much either, so if you could help me. This is where the bloodstain was found. And where is your house in relation to this?
Can I know what picture you're looking at?
Oh, I'm sorry.
But that's okay.
Let me show that.
Officer is crouching down and pointed out. Okay, thank you. Page 2 of Exhibit L.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I'll be honest with you. Even with these pictures, I still don't even know where I'm at. You know, I can't even tell, really.
I'm going to flip back to the first picture and kind of go through one by one so we can all kind of get where things are.
So that's 233.
On the first page we're looking at.
Okay, so my house is literally diagonally across from there, I would say. So mine's 228, so I'm on this side, so I'm literally diagonally across. So that's not even that 200 feet. That's just like, you know, my mailbox is literally maybe 10 or 20 feet away from there.
Okay, and now I'm going to look at 1, 2, 3. The fourth picture, and this is a different angle of the bloodstain that was being pointed out in the road.
Mm-hmm.
And is this your house down here?
Right.
Where it's 228 is, well, 288, but the officer corrected it. That's 228. So that looks to be, you know,
no,
at
I can't.
Least two driveways down if that's your home, correct?
I don't believe those are blood spots, though. That cannot be where the incident happened. Unless the blood happened to, you know, appear there. The incident happened. You see, there's my mailbox isn't all the way till down there. This is my house, you see?
Do you all want to come up here can see? Okay. And also, I didn't get your answer to the question as to, is this your house?
Is this your house? My house is back here.
Okay, so where the star is showing 228 London Drive, right. That is your house.
Right.
Okay.
And then the incident happened over here. Not here. I walked her all the way down here, and then when I walked her, as soon as I felt she was down here, I started walking back up, and she was up here, and she was throwing the weights up over here in front of my mailbox.
Okay.
And then that's when I stepped in front of her, and then that's when she put her hands back, so she steps back and fell down.
Okay. You want to go back?
Okay, so you've testified as to where your house is in this picture.
That's right.
So we could see it. And in the picture is noted by one of the animal control officers as to where they had found the blood stain. So with you testifying that she was in front of your house.
Literally diagonally in front of my house. Right in front of my mailbox.
That doesn't seem like a bit far to you for her to have stumbled back if that's where the blood was?
Because I'm telling you, on the record, she noted, I read it, she said that she took the police officer's word from the word of his investigation, and that's why Ms. Priestet said that, was because the police officer said it. So I don't know where the police officer's investigation went all the way two houses further down when the whole incident happened literally in front of my mailbox. The second incident. The first incident happened actually right in front of my house. It was literally the first where the initial incident happened, right in front of my house. I walk with her down a couple houses, and then I turn around, I walk back, and then she follows me, and that's where she began throwing the weights at Bubbles. And then I stepped in front of her, she took two steps back, and fell down.
It was noted earlier, I think, by your friend, Mr. Moreno, but that you'd gotten insurance?
As soon as I got the hearing and all this stuff, my family just went ahead and they went and paid for insurance. We put, like, measures, like, we put gates. We're going to put another fence around the entire house. You know, we have all these measures that we already intend to do because we don't want this to ever happen again anyway. You know, we feel very bad that this entire incident happened, so we just want to make sure that this never happens again.
I have no further questions.
Okay,
for Mr. Nixon. Thank you.
Thank you. And as I mentioned, you'll have another opportunity to testify on your own behalf.
Okay.
Does the city have any additional witnesses?
Yes. Just two more, Your Honor.
Okay.
If I could call Animal Control Officer Eva Rodriguez, please.
Okay. Good morning.
Thank you. If you could please state your name and position with the city.
Eva Rodriguez, Animal Control Officer, City of Palm Coast.
Thank you. And Ms. Rodriguez, can you tell the court what you know about the incident from June 19th?
On June 19th, we were dispatched out to London Drive in the area of 231. 233 is where we end up pulling up. We were called out by the Flagler County Sheriff's Department and referenced a dog bite and that the dog was still loose at that time. When we responded to the area, the victim was already gone in the ambulance, and we met with Flagler County Sheriff's Officer Deputy Taylor. He was parked in front of 231, between 231 and 233 where the victim was before she was taken away. When we got there, we met with one of the witnesses at 231 who described the incident to us as well, where he heard his wife came into the house because they heard some screaming and he ran out to assist. He was actually one of the main people who helped the victim, wrapped her head up to stop the bleeding, and they called 911. When we started gathering information, we found that the report was that the dog was loose and had bitten the victim. There was blood on the road from where the victim had fell. We documented the photographs. I'm in those photographs pointing out the spots. We know that the owner retreated back to the house with the dog. The dog was contained when we arrived on scene. And that there were multiple bites on the victim at the time that we responded.
Thank you. And the address, just so I could be clear, where the blood spots were found in front of, it was in front of 230?
Between 231 and 233 in that area, in the street.
Okay, thank you. And about how far away was that area from Mr. Nixon's cabin?
It's a few lots down, probably a good 2 to 3 lots away from his house, 200 feet away from his driveway and across the street.
And have you ever seen Bubbles act in an aggressive manner otherwise?
When we responded to the owner's house, the dog was still wound up and kind of in a frenzy. So we stood real still, and yes, we did note that the dog was a little bit more alert when the deputy was talking with his hands and told him, hey, put your hands down to your side.
Okay. And, so as far as the physical evidence in relation to the account given by Mr. Nixon, what you saw was farther away than where he was staying?
Correct. That the evidence shows at that time, where the blood stains were, it was not in front of his house. Witness at 231, he had the blood-soaked bandana in his trash can that was for the victim to stop the bleeding.
Okay.
At his residence at 231.
Okay. And had you seen, for instance, a blood stain in front of Mr. Nixon's mailbox?
We did not.
No.
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have any questions?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And as the city's last witness, we would like to call Ms. Barbara McFarling. If you could just go to the podium, please. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honor.
If you could please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Barbara McFarling, 219 London Drive, Palm Coast, Florida, 32137.
Thank you. And if you could tell the court, Ms. McFarling, where you were and what you were doing in the morning of June
19th? I usually get up and walk every morning. I try to at least walk every morning. And that morning, I was walking by, and I saw someone with a dog, and the dog was running up and down on people's property, running from house to house, pooping and peeing on people's property. And I walked by, and this person was standing there, and I said to him, I said, you know, you should have that dog on a leash. Yeah. So I kept walking. So I walked, and I walked to about 233, and the dog came and snapped at my right hand. My back was turned, and he came and snapped at my right hand. And I said to him, I said, you know, your dog just bit me. Where? Show me where. I said, your dog just, and the dog kept coming at me. So I said, you better control your dog. Control your dog. So I had two weights in my hand, And the dog kept coming at me, so I threw one weight at the dog, but the weight missed the dog. And he said, "Don't hurt my dog." I said, "Then control your dog." And the dog kept coming, and I threw the other weight at him. So he walked away with the dog, and I wanted to see where he lived because I was going to call the cops to let them know about him not having a dog on a leash. So he's at 228, and I was at 230. And he said to me, "Why are you following me?" I said, "Because I want to see where you live so I could call the cops on you." And the dog came at me and I backed up and fell on my coccyx and fell and hit the back of my head. And I'm screaming because the dog is biting me, and I'm covering my face so the dog won't bite me in my face. It bit me on my ring finger. It bit me on my... I am a diabetic, and I am so afraid of these bites because this one is still not healed properly.
I can't see you because there's podium in the way. Okay.
See here?
Okay.
And in my back, on my legs also. And I'm screaming for someone to help me. And he's standing there watching the dog bite me and didn't do a thing about it. He just stood there. So finally, my neighbor next to me, Nicole, at 217, she saw what was happening and she ran. And she got the dog off of me. And then you walk with her with the dog. She tried to control the dog and he wasn't doing anything about it. The neighbors came out and Nick called 911. He came out and helped me, pick me up off the floor, him and Nicole, and put me in a chair to sit till the ambulance came and took me away. So everything happened where he said happened. It did not happen there. It happened between 231 and 233. I wasn't even near his house.
As far as when you were walking, Ms. McFarlane, and when you testified that you had your back turned and were walking away when you felt the dog snap at you, had you felt like you had done anything whatsoever?
No, because I walked by with him with the leash in his hand, and the dog is running up and down on people's property. And I just kept going. I walked away, and next thing I knew, the dog came and snapped on my right hand.
So you were just peacefully taking your walk down the street, and
this
was occurring?
That's it.
Okay.
Then I said to him, I said, "You need to..." The dog kept coming at me, barking at me, coming at me. So I said, "Control your dog. You need to control your dog." So because I said, "Well, your dog just bit me." He said, Where? Show me where." So I said, "You need to control your dog." And I had the weights in my hand, and I threw the weights at the dog, both weights at the dog. Because the dog kept coming at me.
I understand. And when the dog had... So the dog at first snapped your hand, you testified as you were walking away.
Yeah.
And then you all had words. And then this dog comes back a second time. And that's when you had stumbled back.
No, he walked away with the dog. So I wanted to see where he lived.
Right.
So I walked behind him, and I stayed at the house next to his. I wasn't even on his property, the house next to his. So he said, "Why are you following me?" I said, "Because I want to see where you live so I could call the cops and let them know that you don't have the dog on a leash." That's when the dog came at me, and I started to back up and fell.
And I know that you had pointed out some of the bites that are healing on your leg now. And were there multiple bites?
There were multiple bites, yes, there were. I got bit on my ring finger. I got one puncture wound on my leg here and on the back of my leg also.
And we do have color pictures in the record of the photographs that were taken of your wounds before, as well as the... medical report,
yeah,
that you had received from being treated at the hospital. Was the dog aggressively attacking you?
Yes, he was, because I was on the floor, and I'm covering my face, and I'm screaming, and he stood there and didn't try to hold the dog or anything. So my neighbor saw what was going on, and she ran from 217 all the way down to 231-33, where I fell.
And when you're testifying that this was unprovoked, you know, the dog had approached you in the street when your back was turned and snapped your hand once, and then would you say that the dog either approached or chased you again in order to attack you?
Yeah, he came at me.
And did you feel like this was, the dog was acting as though it was menacing or trying to attack?
Yes.
Okay. And you had submitted a statement as to those events that we have in the record as well.
Yes.
Okay, and just to clarify, so it's your testimony that you were not in front of his home as he had testified?
No, wasn't okay. Anywhere near.
Okay. And when you fell down, was there blood in the street? From your head?
From my head. Because I fell and hit the back of my head and was bleeding.
And where you had fallen down, and then a neighbor had helped you up and set you in a chair and whatnot, was the blood stain that was on the road? Would you say that would be the only place that the blood stain was?
Yeah, that was the only place. Yeah, that was the only place. That's it.
Well, thank you. Those are the only questions that I have, though, Mr. Nixon.
Thank you, Mr. Nixon. Do you have any questions for Ms. McFarland?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, hold on.
Okay.
I just wanted to
say that. Could you use the microphone, please?
Okay. I've been taking notes all the time.
Please,
yes. Can I have a couple of questions to the parliament and to Heather? I don't know your last name, I'm sorry.
Priest Paul. She's already completed, so you can ask Ms. McFarland questions.
Okay.
But if you can call Ms. Priest as your own witness.
I'm sorry?
You can call her as your own witness when it's Mr. Nixad's turn to present his own evidence.
Ms. McFarland, I know that we haven't met ever. I'm just a friend of the family, mm-hmm. and trying to help Michael because this is a therapy dog that he got for himself. If the dog was, you felt in danger for the dog, why did you go back to the house?
No. Wait a minute. The dog snapped at me the first time and kept coming at me, and I threw the two weights at him right then and there. I wanted to see where he lived so I could call the cops and let them know he was walking the dog without a leash.
No, I understand. But, I feel that the dog was defending himself. That's what
defending himself on what?
Because you threw the weights at him.
Why did he come at me?
Okay.
Why did he stand at me?
Let me explain how this works. So, Ms. McFarland, only this gentleman needs to ask you questions, and you just answer them, unless the city attorney has some objection.
Yeah, that was my only question, you know. If she felt threatened, why go back to where the dog was?
Because I said I wanted to see where he lived so I could call the cops and let them know he's walking the dog without a leash.
Yeah, well, I would have gone to safety first. That's what it would mean.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry?
Speculation. Never mind.
Okay. But do you have any other questions?
I had a question for Ms. Heather, but I missed my turn because I was making notes and reading. Because I was just, this is my first time. I met Heather the other day because I'm trying to help Michael.
Okay, I understand. All right, thank you. Give me your
reader,
Ms.
Nix. Hold on
but you were only going to see the address as to where Mr. Nixad lives?
Correct.
And when you had thrown the weights at the dog, were you trying to defend yourself?
Yes, I was defending myself against the dog because the dog kept coming at me, and he's standing there. So I told him to please control your dog, control your dog. So I said, I'm going to throw this weight at you. He said, it'll hurt my dog. I said, then control your dog. And he didn't do anything, so the dog kept coming, and so I threw the weight at the dog. And the weight missed the dog.
And as far as, when you were compelled to throw the weight at the dog, did you feel like you were doing this in self-defense because it was aggressively coming at you?
Yes, it was self-defense because the dog kept coming at me.
Okay, thank you. No further questions.
Okay.
And that's the last witness for the city.
Okay, Your Honor. Mr. Nixad and Mr. Murray, you can call witnesses, you can prepare, you can testify on your own behalf, you can present whatever evidence that you'd like.
Yeah, can we do it together?
I'm sorry?
Can we go together?
Sure.
Okay. How do I shut this up?
I'm sorry?
How did I shut this up? Thank you. Okay. Well, based on, I want to just talk to you. Based on everything that I've seen, heard, everything is like conflicting at the same time. I'm still questioning myself. You know, if somebody's in danger, why go back to where the threat happened? And then also I noticed that there's conflicting statements also when they interviewed Michael, and then they interviewed Ms. McFarland like 2 days after. You know, Michael was really nervous in his first the first statement that he presented, because it was all happening at the same time, and he was trying to get what he told me is that he's trying to control both people, the dog and all that.
Okay, Your Honor, I may be addressing what you're about
okay,
to say.
Okay, thank you.
Just again, and I understand you all are not attorneys, but so from a procedural standpoint, this is where you present evidence, not just make your legal argument or whatever argument you're going to say. You'll have an opportunity to do that in a few minutes. But to the extent you want to present testimony, in other words, Mr. Nixad can testify a narrative, or you can ask him questions to answer, that's fine. Or if there's other evidence, or excuse me, witnesses you want to ask questions to, or documents you want to present, that's fine. Just your, closing argument, we're not quite there yet.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I understand. That's why I'm explaining it to you.
Okay.
So in that regard, is there any questions you'd like to ask Mr. Nixad? Mr. Nixad, is there anything else you'd like to testify to that you haven't already testified to this morning?
Honestly, it's just very conflicting, her version versus my
version.
Well,
again, you're making an argument. I'm asking you for testimony about.
Okay, I can repeat what I told you before.
Well, and you can do that, or you can adopt the testimony you've already said so we don't have to repeat yourself.
Okay, just to reiterate, when I was standing on my front, I was standing with Bubbles on my lawn when she walked by. So I wasn't walking, and Bubbles wasn't on any other lawns. So there's one conflicting statement. The other conflicting statement is she says she walked by and Bubbles attacked her from behind, when that's a conflicting statement. She never mentions punching Bubbles in the face the first time to provoke the incident. That's a conflicting statement. She says that Bubbles jumped on or was attacking her. That's why she fell down. That's a conflicting statement. I mean, her version is totally conflicting from my version. So since there are no witnesses and only me and her were there.
You're making a legal argument right now. So this right now is only opportunity to present evidence.
Yeah,
so if you want to tell me about what happened, something you haven't already testified to, or if you want to question a witness or present other evidence, that's fine. Then the city will go with their closing argument. And then after that is when you can make all these arguments that you're making now. Is there any other evidence you want to present?
No, the only testimony I have is what I've already
What you've
given.
Already said. Okay, fair enough. All right, thank you. Does the city have a closing argument?
Yes, Your Honor, thank you.
Thank you.
Your Honor, the evidence and testimony has shown that Bubbles does meet the definition of a dangerous dog. You've seen evidence moved into the record and heard testimony that shows that Bubbles aggressively bit, attacked, or endangered or inflicted a severe injury on a human being, Ms. McFarlane, on public property. There was testimony that the dog was acting aggressively. There's testimony and medical records and photographs as to the injuries showing that she had multiple bites, which does meet both the city code and statutory definition of severe injury, and she was on public property, being in the road on London Drive. The testimony, as well as the written affidavit that Ms. McFarlane had submitted, had provided that Bubbles first aggressively snapped at and bit her hand while she was turned walking away from the dog. The city would contend that this would show that it was an unprovoked situation. When somebody is walking away from an animal and it bites them from behind, it certainly doesn't seem that it could be anything but an unprovoked bite. And there were the multiple bites on her hands and legs, in addition to the injuries that she sustained of hitting her head on the concrete road. But as far as her having hit her head on the road, that's, of course, where the testimony and record shows that the blood stain in the road would have come from. You've heard testimony from both the victim and animal control officers as to where the victim was found, and that this was approximately 200 feet from where the owner's house is located. The photographs show that, you know, you could tell from the photographs even, let alone from the testimony, that it is a few houses away. While there is a disagreement between the parties, of course, as to where the incident actually occurred, the city would contend that the physical evidence does show that Ms. McFarlane had fallen in front of approximately the addresses of 231 233 London Drive. While there are different points of view as to what the circumstances were that morning, the physical evidence does support Ms. McFarlane's account of the incidents, we would say. It seems rather clear that that blood stain, even in the picture, is far from the home. When Mr. Nixod was giving his testimony about her having stumbled back just a few steps and then fallen, that's certainly much shorter than the 200-foot distance. And we would also contend that there has been a good amount of conflict in the testimony or evidence just that Mr. Nixod has presented, as far as, you know, on one hand, he states that the dog was off the leash and he had just let her off the leash. On the other, he's saying in some of the documentary evidence, he had written down in an affidavit that she had gotten out of her harness and he was running around trying to catch her. There's also, basically, Your Honor, if Ms. McFarlane's stating that she wasn't in front of his home and the blood stain was 200 feet down the way, yet Mr. Nixod, is stating that she had just backed up a few feet and then fallen, it just doesn't add up. The physical evidence is supporting what Ms. McFarlane has claimed, and, you know, she didn't back up 200 feet and then fall. You know, they were not in front of his home. And we would say that the conflicting statements between his testimony and affidavit are something to consider in terms of credibility. Okay, in addition to my having touched on the first subsection of the dangerous dog definition, also we would say that Bubbles is a dangerous dog because when she was unprovoked, she had chased or approached Ms. McFarlane upon the streets in a menacing fashion or apparent attitude of attack, which was attested to in a sworn statement, as well as supplemented by her testimony today. And for that reason, and having been attacked on the ground in the middle of a public street after the dog had come back, you know, for a second time after the initial bite, we would say that certainly Bubbles meets the definition of a dangerous dog. The city would contend that it does show aggression when a dog has bitten somebody that's walking away from it, and then even a second time goes to attack someone while they're on the ground, and this is a, you know, moments later, a second attack. That's pretty aggressive. The victim had testified that she was conducting herself peacefully. You know, she was lawfully walking down the road when she was bitten. And certainly there's a severe injury, and as much as that definition means any physical injury that results in broken bones, multiple bites, which she had, or some other things which she doesn't, such as reconstructive surgery. The city would respectfully request that you uphold the classification of a dangerous dog based upon all of the evidence, which was already in the record, as well as the testimony presented today by all of the animal control officers and Ms. McFarlane. And we would hope that you would uphold the classification for those reasons. Thank you.
Okay, now's your opportunity to present a closing argument. That's sort of what you started doing earlier, so if you want to come on up and make whatever closing argument you'd like to make before I make my ruling.
Okay.
Well, I noticed, I've read that that the dog, that the dog to be classified as a dangerous dog, you have to be unprovoked. Where I'm saying that my dog was provoked three times. The first time was a conflicting statement. She's walking down from the northern side, walking towards the southern side, and then she was walking, and she was literally in front of my house, and she began speaking to me, sort of, I would say, abrasively, because, you know, I'm not used to, I've talked to my neighbors before, and, you know, no neighbor has ever spoke to me like this lady spoke to me. You know, she was very abrasive from the start. You know, and like you said, she's like, you know that this dog has to be on a leash, you know. Her tone of voice was kind of abrasive. And that's what first got my dog to notice her, when she began speaking to me. And that was the first provocation. The second provocation is when Bubbles approached her, she doesn't mention that she did punch Bubbles in the face with her weight. And that's a conflicting statement. She says that she walked by me and Bubbles, and I was walking, and then that's when Bubbles turned around and just went and unprovokedly attacked her. And if she unprovoked, why does she have bite marks on her hands and not bite marks on her back? On her back, if she provoked her from behind, or if she jumped from behind and bit her from behind, that does not make sense. So that was the second provocation. Third provocation. I make sure the lady is safe. You know, I don't see any bite marks. The lady follows me back to the front of my house. I'm not lying about this. I don't know where these blood marks came from. I did not study these bite marks. I don't know where these blood spots come from. You know, these blood spots, I don't know even if these are blood spots. You know, I don't know what these are. So the lady was in front of my mailbox. She was throwing the weights at my dog. Okay? Again, I stepped in front of her. I put both my hands up like this to block her from throwing the weights at my dog. This is very specific, very conflicting argument. She's saying that this did not happen. Then she went from having the weight in her hand in the process of throwing the weight at my dog. She was in the process. She had the weight up like this.
The second weight.
Okay. And then she put both of her hands up like this as soon as I stepped in front of her. Walked back two steps and fell down on purpose. I don't know why she fell down. I don't know if she slipped. I don't know what happened. This is what happened. She's saying that I pushed her. I noticed in one of the statements, I pushed her down. In another statement, the dog pushed her down.
You know, and all these statements are very conflicting. Okay? Now, either my version is telling the truth, or her version is telling the truth. Okay? There are no witnesses. The witnesses did not arrive until after she was down on the ground. Okay? I was doing my best to make sure she was safe. For her to say that I was, you know, not making sure she was safe is a complete lie. So it's either my version or it's her version. Okay? So with no testimonies or no witnesses, all you have is this animal control person here, and she in her statement that she says that she took the officer's word for it that the blood spots were right in front of the house. That was completely 3 or 4 houses down from my house when the whole incident happened in front of my house. You know, I'm being called a liar. I don't appreciate that. You know, these people are calling me a liar. So it's either my version of the story or it's her version of the story. And that's all I have to say.
Okay, anything else? Okay, thank you. Okay. I'm just going to take a couple of minutes to review a little bit of the testimony, and then I'll make my ruling.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, I'm ready to make my ruling. All right, just for the record, my role here today is to make a determination as to whether or not to uphold the city's initial determination of the Animal Control Authority regarding classification of Bubbles as a dangerous dog, regarding the proposed penalty or both, in accordance with Section 8-40 of the City Code and 767.12 of Florida statutes. Going to find that city staff met all notice requirements for these proceedings and that the owner, Michael Nixad, owned and still owns the animal Bubbles at 228 London Drive. As the city attorney mentioned, there are essentially two provisions of the statute that defines dangerous dog that they're arguing Bubbles falls under. The first one is that any dog, according to the records of animal control authority records, other animal control or law enforcement authorities, has aggressively bitten, attacked, or endangered, or has inflicted severe injury on a human being on public or private property. I just want to make a comment regarding some of the things that both parties said. The photographs to me are not relevant as to where the incident occurred, other than regarding the credibility of Mr. Nixad's testimony. However, I find that Ms. McFarland also had inconsistent testimony in this case. So, that being said, I'm actually not going to address subsection A of the statute. What I am going to address is subsection C of the statute, which says that any dog, according to animal control authority records, other animal control or law enforcement authorities, has, when unprovoked, chased or approached a person upon the streets, sidewalks, or any public grounds in a menacing fashion or apparent attitude of attack, provided that such actions are attested to in a sworn statement by one or more persons and dutifully investigated by the appropriate authority. Unprovoked is defined by Section 828 of the City Code and Section 767.11, sub 2 of Florida statutes, as a victim who has been conducting himself or herself peacefully and lawfully, has been bitten or chased in a menacing fashion or attacked by a dog, or under the code it says by an animal. I'm not here to determine whether Mr. Nixad did the right thing or whether Ms. McFarland could have avoided the incident by not going back to Mr. Nixad's home. I find conflicting testimony with regard to the occurrence of events, and this is why I'm not going to make a ruling under subsection A, because I don't know if the dog caused a severe injury or if by the initial bite, and that's kind of where I'm going with my ruling here. I do believe there's no conflicting evidence on the issue of the initial incident where Bubbles approached Ms. McFarland in the street and nipped her in the hand. I do find that at that point, Ms. McFarland falls under the definition of unprovoked, again, a victim who's been conducting himself or herself peacefully and lawfully. I recognize Mr. Mixad's argument that Ms. McFarland may have made a comment to you, but that's simply not what unprovoked means. Just because she may have said something, and I'm not here to determine that either, whether she said something mean or rude to you, it's just not relevant under the law. I do not find that she was provoking the dog. I also have no evidence to dispute that the dog was acting in a menacing fashion. I believe both parties testified that the dog was barking at the time of the incident and acting aggressively. So that being said, I'm going to uphold the dangerous dog determination, again, for clarity of the record, based on Section 767.11, sub 1, sub C, and the mirrored provisions in Section 8-28 of the City Code. My next order of business is to decide whether to uphold or not uphold the penalty proposed by the city. I am going to uphold the penalty in large part with a few amendments. And this is the part where I talk for a long time, so. The city, in its initial determination, has requested various conditions be imposed regarding the licensure of the animal, etc. So, this is my ruling on this issue. The owner shall be responsible for compliance with any and all regulations associated with the ownership or control of a dangerous dog, including but not limited to Section 8-43 Code of Ordinances, City of Palm Coast, and Chapter 767 Florida Statutes. The city is asking me to order that within 14 days after issuance of my order, that you must complete a list of things. Some of those things I'm going to agree with, the others I'm going to amend, and I'm also going to give you longer than 14 days, although I understand you've already taken efforts to comply with some of these things. So within 14 days after issuance of the final order of this initial determination by the Animal Control Authority, essentially within 14 days after my ruling, or the conclusion of any appeal that affirms such order, Bubbles owner shall obtain a certificate of registration for Bubbles. The certificate shall be renewed annually, and those annual renewals may be issued only to persons who are at least 18 years of age and who present to the Animal Control Authority sufficient evidence of the following: a current certificate of rabies vaccination, current animal license tag, and proof of sterilization from a certified veterinarian licensed in any state, permanent identification such as a tattoo on the inside thigh or electronic implantation. The next item, although I'm not going to order that this be completed within 14 days because I don't think that it's practical for this to happen in 14 days, I'm going to order that attempts be made to begin the process to comply with this and that evidence of those attempts be presented to the city within 14 days. And that is to have a proper enclosure to confine Bubbles in accordance with Section 8-43D, Code of Ordinances, City of Palm Coast, and Paragraph 18C, as outlined in the initial determination by the city, as well as the posting of the premises with a clearly visible warning sign at all points of entry of the premises, which informs both children and adults of the presence of a dangerous dog on the property. Also within 14 days, I'm going to order that the owner provide proof that he is the fee simple owner of the property upon which the proper enclosure is located, or alternatively proof of permission from the fee simple owner of the property to erect the enclosure that I'm ordering. I'm also ordering that within 14 days, which sounds like you've already done this, but the owner obtain insurance in the amount of $100,000 for Bubble in order to provide liability insurance for damages to persons and property caused by Bubbles. The insurance shall be provided by an insurance company authorized to do business in the state of Florida, and the owner shall provide the Animal Control Authority evidence of a certificate of insurance and a copy of the endorsement. Annual registration shall be denied to the owner should the owner fail to maintain this insurance. If at any time the liability insurance is canceled or lapses, the Animal Control Authority shall have the authority to impound Bubbles. If the owner does not reinsure Bubbles within 14 days of the impoundment, ownership of Bubbles shall revert to the city, and Bubbles may be euthanized in an expeditious and humane manner. I'm also ordering from today forward that the owner shall confine Bubbles in one of the following ways. She shall be securely confined inside the owner's residence, or in a securely enclosed locked pen or structure constructed on the owner's property according to the following specifications. The floor shall consist of a concrete pad no less than 4 feet wide by 8 feet long. The sides shall consist of chain link 6 feet in height. The top shall be enclosed and provide adequate shade and protection from the elements. The structure shall have secure sides, top, and flooring to prevent Bubbles from escaping over, under, or through the structure. The gate shall be lockable and remain locked when Bubbles is penned, shall be suitable to prevent the entry or partial entry of children, and be designed to prevent Bubbles from escaping. A perimeter fence shall be installed around Bubbles' pen by the owner to prevent direct contact with... I have a typo here. With the dog. The owner shall immediately notify the animal control officers if Bubbles becomes loose or unconfined, if she attacks a human being or another animal, or if she dies. You shall also notify the animal control officer if the owner moves to another address with Bubbles. If the owner moves to a different jurisdiction, then the owner shall notify the enforcement officer of the new jurisdiction that Bubbles has been classified as dangerous. The owner shall also notify the animal control officer if he intends to give away or sell Bubbles. Prior to Bubbles being sold or given away, the owner shall provide the name, address, and telephone number of the proposed new owner to the animal control officer. The owner shall also confine Bubbles in a locked pen or inside the owner's residence when the owner is not present on the property. If the dog is kept inside the owner's residence, all windows and doors shall be closed and maintained to ensure that Bubbles remains inside the residence. The next subsection is one I'm going to amend a little bit. The city would like me to order that the owner shall not permit Bubbles to be outside the residence or locked pen unless muzzled and restrained by substantial chain or leash and under the control of a competent person. The muzzle must be made in a manner that will not cause injury to the dog or interfere with its vision or respiration, but will prevent it from biting any person or animal. The owner may exercise Bubbles in a securely fenced or enclosed area that does not have a top without a muzzle or leash if Bubbles remains within his or her sight, and only adult members of the immediate household or persons 18 years or older are allowed in the enclosure when Bubbles is present. I'm going to impose most of those, but I'm making one amendment. I do not agree that only adult members of the immediate household or persons 18 years or older are allowed in the enclosure. To the extent there are children in your household, that Bubbles is their dog, I think that they would be should be permitted to play with their dog in the enclosure within Bubbles, while Bubbles is present and under the owner's supervision. I'm going to further order that when being transported, the owner shall ensure that Bubbles is muzzled and safely and securely restrained within the vehicle. The owner is responsible for all boarding costs and other fees as may be required to humanely and safely keep Bubbles during any appeal procedure. Speaking of which, this determination may be appealed by the owner in accordance with appellate laws. I can't give you legal advice, but I would encourage you to consult counsel. There are deadlines that you must comply with, so do not delay. The appeal process is outlined in Chapter 767, Florida Statutes, and the City Code as well. You are also notified that pursuant to Section 8-40B, Code of Ordinances of the City of Palm Coast, if a dog is classified as dangerous due to an incident that causes severe injury to a human being, based upon the nature and circumstances of the injury and the likelihood of future threat to the public safety, health, and welfare, the dog may be destroyed in an expeditious and humane manner. I am not going to, based on the nature and circumstances of the incident, I am not going to order that that be the case. A couple other things I'm going to add to that. I'm going to include this in my written order so that everyone is well informed of their rights and obligations. Pursuant to Section 8-29A of the City Code, the City Manager and Animal Control Officers have the authority to capture, seize, or pick up a dangerous dog not in compliance with written notice of their classification. An animal control officer may immediately impound a dangerous dog if the owner fails to comply with any of the requirements of my order or any of the requirements of Section 8-43, and after written notice to the owner in accordance with Section 8-40A7, the dog may be euthanized at the owner's expense in an expeditious and humane manner unless the owner requests a hearing pursuant to Section 8-48A8. Again, the owner shall be responsible for payment of all boarding costs and other fees in that situation, as may be required to humanely and safely keep the dog during any appeal procedure. If the owner files a written appeal, the dog must be held and may not be destroyed while the appeal is pending. This information is contained in Section 8-40E of the City Code. Also, in that same section of the Code, violation of any condition of the order shall constitute a violation of the Code and be punishable as such. I've already mentioned your rights with regard to appealing my order. I would also bring the owner's attention to Sections 8-41 and 8-42 of the City Code, regarding any incidents that may occur after the fact that Bubbles has now been declared a dangerous dog. Okay, that's my final order. There will be a written order typed up and sent to you in the mail. And if you have, do you have any final questions?
No.
Okay, thank you all for coming.
Thank you, Your Honor.
As a final matter to just wrap up these proceedings formally, there being no... no new or other business. These hearings will be adjourned at 12:33 p.m. Thank you. Much talking.